Welcome to Two Peas on a Podcast. These current events and hot topics aren't going to talk about themselves. And now, here are the two Peas, Andy and Gerald. I'm not the woman that can take your spotlight.
Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, no, you didn't.
I had to wait for the beat to drop there.
No, you didn't. Arguably, I can't believe you interrupted that. But Justin song there is.
It's a good one, man. T.I.'s rapping here is hot, too, brother. That's fire.
Shorty cool as a fan on the loo once again, but still has fan from Baruj Japan. Yeah, man.
Welcome in, people. Woo. Two Peas on a Podcast.
Ooh, this is beat.
Episode 48. Gerald is here.
Andy is beside. Well, actually, across from Gerald.
You're not beside me. Don't sit beside me. Metaphorically,
I'm always beside you and behind you.
Metaphorically, I was going to say inside me, but that's not metaphorically.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Metaphorically, you're always
Gerald's
with me.
Gerald's got his This Guy Loves Cats t-shirt on.
I do.
I have the same t-shirt.
Two thumbs pointing back to me, brother. Yeah, I love cats.
Everybody knows that t-shirt.
Everybody listens to this show knows that. Two Peas on a Podcast, episode 48. We open with Justin Timberlake and T.I.'s My Love there, brother.
Oh, man. Now, I got a question for you. A quick question.
Yes, very quick. We've only had 60 minutes. What do you got?
Is this Future Sex Love Sound?
Yes.
Is this the Thriller of our time?
You mean of like the last 20 years?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Is this the Thriller of our generation? Well,
you're putting me on the spot here.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd have to really research and get back to you, but I mean, off the top of my head, I don't see a lot of people competing with it.
I love all of Justin's music, but Future Sex Love Sound, every song on there is perfect.
What about 2020, though? That's good.
2020, no, that's a great album. That's a great album. I'm just talking, and Justified's a wonderful album, but Future Sex Love Sound is special. This album is so very special.
You won't get an argument for me on that.
It's Thriller to me.
It's good.
It's Thriller to me.
I mean, you got, it's good.
Justin working with Timberland, just like Michael worked with Quincy Jones.
Yes.
I'm just saying, this album.
And you can
perfect.
Hear the Michael Jackson influence in there.
With the falsetto.
Yeah. Anyway, we will tell the folks, if they don't already know, why we decided to open with our beloved JT.
Yeah, why? Why JT?
Well, fucking hang tight, brother.
I'm
excited. You're getting really excited. I'm going to tell you why.
Tell me soon.
Well, not fucking right now, I'm going to tell you. I got to find out how your week was real quick.
All right.
Make it quick, brother. I don't really care that much. I'm kidding. I do care. How was your week?
My week was
how
wonderful.
Was your week?
Had a good week. I went to a wedding, an outside wedding. It was cool. The sun went down. It was cool outside with the lights. Everything was outside.
I did too.
Got my flu shot today. The flu stops here.
Mm.
Got vaccinated. That's exciting always.
Interesting. Well done.
That's about it. Leaves are falling all around. A week to Halloween. Very excited. How
I know
you?
It is. It is next week. I had a beach wedding myself.
You did.
Down in Emerald Isle, North Carolina. It was beautiful. I started my new job, too. Did I tell you that?
Yes.
I did tell you that. Did I tell people on the show that?
No, they don't know. Well, no.
Yeah, well, we're 1 week into it.
Okay. Did I? How you doing? How's it going?
I don't fucking think I told them that last week. Did I? It's going. I mean, it's a lot of work. It's more work than I've done since I was like 23. So 15
really?
Years ago.
Really? This is actually more work than all the other stuff you've done?
Well, no. I mean, in the last 5 years.
Okay.
In the last 5 years is probably the hardest.
Anyone who's worked with you in the last 5 years would agree with that.
Anyone who's worked with me is like, yeah, so basically you stand up. Like, you walk from point A to point B. I guess it is pretty tough on you. But anyway, so I started my new job. That's exciting because I'm employed.
You're employed. That's always nice.
I assume they will provide me with a paycheck. I haven't received one.
So, okay. But,
when they do, yes. That'll be.
All signs are pointing to you're getting paid for this.
That'll be a nice perk. And that's it.
That's you.
That's me, man. So we're back for another week. I came over to Andy's house once again.
Yes, man.
You know, that's the one thing about this job, though, is throwing us for a loop a little bit.
A loop.
Not our normal loop.
Oh, different loop.
It's not throwing us for our hour loop. It is different.
It's different doing the podcast in my home because my home is always so crazy. So, I put the kids to bed. Yeah. I clean the kitchen. All of a sudden, you show up and I got to talk about serious stuff.
No, I really appreciate you locking your family in a bomb shelter when I come over.
They lock themselves in. Gerald's coming over. We're out of here.
Very generous of you.
Yes.
All right. So we open with Justin Timberlake there. So it's been announced officially, and we mentioned this a couple weeks ago.
This is official.
Justin Timberlake is performing at this year's Super Bowl.
Oh, I'm so excited.
It is official,
I'm
brother.
I'm so stoked. I saw Justin Timberlake twice for 2020.
I know. You tell us that every second episode, but
I'm just saying.
But I saw that as well.
The guy is amazing.
No, he's good.
Let me tell you what I like about Justin.
It's triple threat.
Of course he's a great dancer.
Yeah.
Of course he's a great singer. He has the classic falsetto. I love people who sing in falsetto.
He's so funny.
He's a funny guy. But when he's performing anything he's doing, he genuinely seems to have so much joy in what he does.
Yeah.
That's why I like him and Fallon so much together, because they just have a good time.
That's how I announced it. Did you see that clip?
I didn't see that clip.
So JT went on Fallon's show, not as a guest or anything. It was like a cold open.
Okay.
So it was the opening of the Tonight Show two or three nights ago. Fallon's in his dressing room getting ready, and Timberlake comes in.
Okay.
And, you know, they're friends, so nobody really thinks anything crazy about it.
Yeah. Oh, there's Timberlake.
And Timberlake's like, what are you doing, Jimmy? And he's like, I'm just getting ready for the show. Do you have the time? And Justin Timberlake goes, I do half the time. And Fallon's like, you have the time? And he's like, I have time. And then they just keep going back and forth. And
that's awesome.
He ends up, you know, saying,
so much joy. I love Justin. And I just so much joy.
Well, I'm very excited about it because I mirror your opinion that I love him as well. He's a great performer. He's hilarious.
Yeah.
Fallon, of course. And then
innovative.
When he's on SNL.
Very innovative.
Even in the movie performances he puts on, drama and comedy, he can do both.
He does a good job.
He's a triple. He's like a cinquapa threat, brother. Yeah. Is that a
wonderful thing?
Wonderful. You like my Spanish? Was that good?
That was terrible.
What language was that?
Terrible.
I don't know what that was.
There are Hispanics all over the world fainting right now.
They're going, what?
They have no idea why.
But they're rewinding that. But anyway, very happy that Justin Timberlake's doing it. Me personally, I know you are as well. Yeah. However, let's talk a little bit about the backlash that ensued.
Surprising backlash.
Well, at this point, is it?
Yeah, I guess not.
Because when I messaged you the article, I said, "Fuck, what are you fucking kidding?" Like, I would have never in a million years have said, "Oh, this is going to."
Tell us about the backlash. Let's get our opinion.
Well, I mean, the basic backlash that came out shortly after it was announced that he was going to be performing at the Super Bowl halftime show is that in 2004, as probably anybody knows that's a fan of his, he was involved a thing with Janet Jackson that they called
Justified just came out, and he was dancing with
Aerosmith was there.
Yeah,
and it was like a conglomerate of folks, but he had a performance with her where there was a thing in the choreography where he like grabbed her boob basically, and when he did that, her nipple was exposed.
Yes,
so they ended up calling it.
It was like 0.2 seconds.
Yeah,
it was hard to notice.
Right, and it lives on the internet forever now, of course.
Yes.
But anyway, it was called a wardrobe malfunction.
Yes,
nip slip, whatever.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think it was a wardrobe malfunction. I think they planned to do it and cut it right away, and that they received so much backlash that they kind of had to apologize for it. Which, correct me if I'm
wrong.
You're
not saying that they think they intentionally showed her nipple on network television.
I don't know. I think it was.
I mean, I guess that is possible, but
it was a split second.
Yeah.
A split second.
Yeah.
Like, you almost had to think, did I just see what I saw?
But you get a still photo, though.
Yeah, exactly.
And you go back and see it now.
I don't know. But the interesting thing is, at the time, you know, Justin, there's a big backlash. Justin Timberlake, you know, apologizes immediately for it. I don't think Janet apologized for it, which I respected
at the time.
I was like, you don't need to apologize. You made an artistic choice.
I haven't researched enough to really, really say.
Yeah.
But part of the backlash is actually because Justin did not apologize to Janet.
Why would he apologize to her?
Well, you tell me, brother. I'm just saying that that's what the backlash, that's kind of where it started. So there's a hashtag that's been trending in the last few days. Hashtag justice for Janet.
Okay.
So what the folks that are upset about
tell us,
at the NFL, really, and Pepsi, which runs the Super Bowl halftime show, they're upset that I guess there's like a rumor or belief out there that Janet Jackson is banned from performing at the Super Bowl.
Which
because
I don't
of
think
what
is
happened.
True.
The NFL said it's not true.
I don't think either one of them. Justin hasn't performed since.
I haven't heard Janet say shit.
No,
I haven't heard Janet speak in 5 years.
She's on a world tour right now. I don't think she needs to say anything. She's Janet Jackson.
Well, that's true.
I don't think she needs to perform at the Super Bowl.
I mean, I'm with you. I'm in agreement with you that it's fucking ridiculous. Yeah. I don't know. We're going to get into something else that I just added to the agenda tonight because I'm kind of so fired up about it.
Yeah, okay.
But, I mean, why is there a backlash about this? I mean, right? I mean, Justin Timberlake is a legitimate performer for Super Bowl. One of the top 5 or 10 artists active today.
Yeah, hasn't performed. I mean, this was 13 years ago.
Right.
They invite him back, and they don't invite Janet back right away. I've also read something that after that, you know, Justin Timberlake's career has kind of climbed
since
2004.
I saw that too.
Janet's kind of waned. But that's also a product of the
time.
First of all, it's Janet Jackson.
You can't say this because of the Super Bowl.
Janet Jackson is going to go down in history as one of the top artist of all time.
Yeah.
Now, but she's getting older. She's not putting out as much music anymore. It's a little bit different. Justin, at the time of 2004, he was like 22 years old. Right. Just released Justified. Has, you know, been... Right. Has
I mean,
been climbing since then, but I don't think that's really related. Do they have to invite Janet back because they're inviting Justin back? I don't think, and of course...
I I'm going to say right now, I wouldn't be surprised at all, and I would maybe even put a little money on it. I don't have any, but if I did, I'd put it on. But
once you get paid from
Janet. Janet might show up as a guest star.
Of course.
And that
but set. now it kind of ruins it that everybody's been talking about it, because it'd be better if no one did.
And then I guess, and we're, let's get into this other thing, because then we can kind of spin that off too, and I don't mean to get deep here in our first bookend, but so I sent you this article.
Okay.
So real quick, do you think Justin should have apologized to Janet for what happened in 04?
For what?
For the exposing her nipple. Yeah.
Well, no, because I think it's something...
It was the wardrobe malfunction.
I mean, I think...
He didn't purposely expose her nipple.
Exactly. I think...
But people think that.
In their personal lives, he might have said, like, oh, I'm sorry this happened. There was such a big backlash. But does he have to have a public apology to her when they... I think it's something they did together, right?
Right.
I mean, I don't think that she just happened to, oh, she had a loose-fitting clothing and he ripped it off on stage and she had no idea what was going on.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I agree with you. I just think that
the biggest thing is I don't think Janet really cares.
I think the society that we live... I mean, hopefully we'll hear from her at some point or if she shows up at the Super Bowl, then obviously she condones him being booked there.
Yeah.
But I just the society we live in, man, there's just a backlash for fucking everything, brother. I mean, literally everything that happens, somebody's upset about it.
Here's the problem. You hear the term white privilege, and I've heard it in
well, people say that about Justin.
In around this case, like, okay, well, Justin's, you know, his rise to superstardom, his being put in the Super Bowl, it's a product of white privilege. And the problem is, the problem is not that white privilege doesn't exist. The problem is that it does. And when you point to things like, oh, Justin Timberlake being put on the Super Bowl halftime show and Janet Jackson, one of the biggest stars in the world, not at this point, it kind of takes away from that. Like, there's legitimate white privilege out there, and it's ingrained into our society. And when you start getting up in arms about who's going to perform at the halftime show, it kind of waters that down.
Right.
You know, let's pick our battles. Let's get into the deep issues of what are the racial implications in our society really are about.
No, I feel you, brother. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, and of course, who knows what all goes into this and why, but I mean, Pepsi gets Justin there mainly because of money, because, you know, he's one of the biggest stars in the world.
Yeah,
he's
going to bring in audience. Yeah, he's going to bring in viewers. Yeah. But I mean, you know, I had on here Justin gets the Super Bowl, which obviously we're excited about.
Yeah, of course.
Millions of people will be excited about that. But I couldn't believe that I had to add a subtext there that there was a backlash.
Yeah, I mean, Prince.
I can't believe it.
Beyonce, Bruno Mars.
So listen, so I want to spin I want to spin that off into
Bruce Springsteen. We've had a lot of great.
You know, Halloween's around the corner. Halloween's around the corner.
It is.
Okay, it's a week away.
Actually. 1 week from tonight.
So I wasn't going to talk about this. We got about 5 minutes here. The duration of our first bookend is, I want to see how you feel about this.
Okay.
So there has been, and I honestly am a little naive, I guess, but it came to light in the last few days for me, really. I didn't even really realize that it had gotten this kind of petty, for lack of a better way to put it. But I was listening to my friends Dan and Cody. They have a podcast, and they read this like BuzzFeed article, which was like the 15 most inappropriate Halloween costumes or whatever. And they're reading them, and like there's two out of the 15 that I would maybe consider inappropriate.
Yeah.
I don't have their list, and I don't remember specifically which ones they had on there. But what I wanted to bring up, and I sent you an article this evening, a couple of them, but one in particular, the USA Today and Cosmopolitan Magazine ran a periodical about how you shouldn't allow your children to dress up as characters such as Moana and what's the guy, The Rock's character in that?
Maui.
Maui.
Demigod.
You shouldn't allow them to dress up as Maui and Moana unless they are of that heritage. Don't ask me, brother. I don't agree with this. I'm just telling you that's what they're saying because it's racially insensitive to send your white daughter out dressed like Moana.
Okay.
All right. So I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you that's what people think.
Okay.
So they're saying that's an offensive Halloween costume. Last year, Disney actually stopped producing the Maui costumes after this quote-unquote backlash, which I didn't know about last year.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
And a friend of mine on Facebook actually got the Maui costume before they discontinued it. And he said, I'm going as fucking Maui this year.
Why?
Fuck you guys.
Why did they discontinue the Maui costume?
I'm telling you, bro, because it was racially insensitive. And, well, I'm not saying that.
To be a Pacific Islander demigod?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess if you're a white dude and you wear a brown toned skin costume, then that's wrong. So anyway, We're talking Maui and Moana here.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I got this article here that I actually found in Good Housekeeping magazine. I don't know. I guess when I was watching Lifetime the other night, I popped up and I flipped this open.
Good Housekeeping magazine.
Better Homes and Gardens, right in between my Martha Stewart viewing.
Okay.
But now here's some okay. that I'm going to give you. Okay. I'm going to run through them pretty quickly.
Okay.
If there's one that you think is not offensive, mm-hmm. let me know. Mm-hmm. A Holocaust victim. A 1940s girl costume, child's okay. girl costume.
Okay.
Anything involving blackface, where you would paint your face black.
Okay, yeah.
Transphobic uh-huh. costumes. You could see that. There's one on here that's a refugee. Anything that's body shaming.
Okay.
Now they've got on here cultural stereotypes. So here's what I want to focus on, because we're talking about this with Moana.
Yes. Now this is where it gets a little blurry. Yeah.
If you, what's an example? So if you dress your okay, I got a perfect example.
Okay.
So my son is going as Luigi this year from Super Mario Brothers.
Ooh, that's an Italian stereotype.
That's Italian. He is an Italian stereotype. That's exactly right.
The Italian.
So that's
plumber.
My point. That's my point.
Yeah.
So he's going specifically as Luigi. You know, he has the L and the hat and the costume.
Awesome.
And I'm going as Mario.
Of course.
So we're doing a team. We're yes. Super Mario Brothers.
Yes, that's
my
wonderful.
My son's been playing that for the last 6 months. He loves that game.
Yes.
He has Mario Kart, Mario Brothers. He loves it.
That's wonderful.
He has zero idea what the fucking Italian is.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what Italy is. No. He doesn't even fucking know what America is. I mean, his dad's an idiot. What do you think he's going through?
Exactly. Yeah.
So, do you get my point
mm-hmm,
here?
I do.
He's 4 years old.
Yeah.
He loves this video game. It screams fun to him. Mm-hmm. Trick-or-treating is fun. But if he's going as Luigi from Super Mario Brothers, now that's different than if I dressed him up as an Italian... you know, guy with spaghetti sauce all over his apron and, you know,
okay.
smoking a cigar it. Or something. You know, and I'm trying to clearly just put a bunch of stereotypes onto one body here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I mean, Dan and Cody mentioned Aladdin. You know, like if you go specifically as Aladdin, then that's different than going as a Middle Easterner.
Okay.
Just a random Middle Easterner.
Yeah.
You know, they got a picture of a Mexican one here with the poncho.
Yeah.
That could be offensive if you're not Mexican.
Yeah.
So, what do you fall on this? You got kids.
Yeah.
I mean, do you get this argument? Because it really kind of baffles me to
here's
a certain extent.
It's first of all, and most importantly, it's all about how you portray something. It's all about how you do something. It's about the reason behind it. When you're talking about exploiting other cultures, when you're talking about cultural stereotypes, the question is, are you celebrating that culture? Are you portraying an aspect of that culture? Or are you poking fun at it? Are you using it for humor? So I got a great example.
Well, I don't think 4-year-olds know, though.
Well, I got a great example for you. Well, of course, 4-year-olds don't know. I got a great example for you. Let's just say my youngest daughter, one of my daughters, they're studying history in school, and she's reading about Anne Frank. And she says, you know what? This lady, Anne Frank, is such an amazing person and was so brave. I want to be her for Halloween.
Right.
Anne Frank was a Holocaust victim.
Mm-hmm.
So is it okay for my white daughter to dress up as a Holocaust victim if she's portraying Anne Frank and celebrating her? I say, go for it. Let's look into this. Let's study more about it. If I had a son, he says, I think it would be hilarious to dress up as Adolf Hitler. I would say, you know what? Let me tell you a little bit about Adolf Hitler and why that might be in bad taste.
Right.
He was a gentleman who was responsible for all this death and genocide and torture. So can you see how you just using that to be funny might be insensitive?
Right.
So that's the idea here. Is that
I guess
it's about the
And you're using, you know, specific people in actual history where I'm saying you're taking Disney characters.
Yes. Okay, I got another example.
You know
what
I'm saying? Moana is not like just a random, Pacific Islander.
More examples. Okay, both of my daughters are studying Mandarin right now. And what if one of my daughters said, well, I'm just fascinated by the Chinese culture. I just think it's so beautiful and I'm learning that language. And
yeah, so go as a geisha.
I want to wear a kimono and be a Chinese lady.
People do that, sure.
I'd be like, that's wonderful. You know what? You can actually use that when you go to the door, say hello in Mandarin and say bye and thank you, say xie xie when you leave and say in Mandarin. And honor that. It's different than that's honoring a culture, not exploiting it. Now, Disney has used so many different cultures in telling stories. Moana is based on the Pacific Island mythology. Merida from Brave is based on the Scottish area.
Right, right.
Elsa and Anna are based on kind of Sweden and Norway in that area. Tiana is an African American from Louisiana. So there's Jasmine is from the Arabian Peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Disney has not always done a great great job using cultural stereotypes. You know, I think maybe in one of their, they had these bloodthirsty Indians and, you know, these red-faced Indians.
So right.
The question is, are you honoring that culture? Are you celebrating that culture? Or are you breaking it down to one dimension, to one characteristic, and using that to poke fun
at it? So does it fall on the people that are getting offended to know the difference? Because let's say...
It falls on all of us to know
the difference. Well, here's what I'm saying, though. So let's say that... You are, for whatever reason, somebody that would be offended by seeing a person in a Maui costume, and that person comes to your door, yeah, your house. You're not going to know. That's a stranger to
exactly.
you. It's trick-or-treating.
And you're not going to know.
So you're not going to know if they're honoring
no.
that heritage.
He might just love Maui.
If they, yeah. Now, if they're little kids, I mean, that's why I think this is kind of yes. like, you're kind of ripping the fun out of this a little bit. I mean, yes. in my opinion.
Because these kind of stereotypes are grown over time.
You know, like, my father was a redneck. I mean, yeah. I'll just tell you. Yeah. I mean, he had that kind of stereotype.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when I see people dressing up as red, I don't give a shit. I mean,
yes.
that's just me.
Yes.
But, I mean, that doesn't hit me hard or yeah. anything like that. I'm just like, okay, whatever. You're yeah. you're having fun, you know?
So here's the question. Should I tell my white daughters there. That they can only dress as white princesses? What does that tell them?
I mean, that's...
Like, you can
yeah.
be... Like, you know, Elsa and Anna are based... I mean, we're not... Norwegian. I forget the area it's based on. What about Merida? Okay, well, my ancestors are Scottish. Okay, you can dress as Merida. What about Jasmine?
That's what I'm saying.
You can't dress as
it's
Jasmine.
It's too much.
I mean, it's
and too
think
much.
About, I mean, what this points to me is it. What I like about this, or what I think this is interesting, I don't want to say I like it, but what I think is interesting, it shows you, it illustrates how ridiculous yeah. racial profiling actually is.
Yeah.
We're talking about skin tone. Do I need to show one of those little swatches with different tones of brown and put it up against my daughter's skin and tell her you can right. only wear things that are lighter than you?
Well, that's another for another show, I guess.
And here's the, I want to before we end, I got to tell
yes,
you this.
Yes.
When I read that article you sent me,
yes.
the parent said this: my daughter wanted to dress as Moana, and I went to the internet to see if that was okay.
Yeah.
Parents, don't do that.
Yeah. Actually,
do
when
not
I,
go to the internet to see if something's okay.
Yeah, actually, when I looked up the article
you know what I'm saying?
On Google, that was one of the first things that come up. You know, when you type in, yeah. it'll fill your sentence
of
for
course.
You. One of the first things was, is it okay for a kid to wear a Moana costume?
Think for yourself. Ask like, yourself, dude, why is my daughter wearing this? What do
okay.
I feel about this?
All it's, right.
Yeah, there's
right.
a lot of fear out there, and you're always going to find groups of people who are angry about something. So, you know, think for yourself.
I agree.
Are you honoring it, or are you making fun of it?
Is it okay that I came over dressed as an overweight creep?
Yes, because you costume. Are an overweight creep.
I can connect with those people, exactly. and they're not going to offend me.
Yeah, just, I mean, ask yourself, all right. am I celebrating it, or am I making fun of it?
Ask that's a good angle to take. That's yeah. a good angle to take. All right, so listen, we've got to do our pee break, brother. I got to go use the restroom. I got to use the facilities.
Okay.
Also, we're going to pump up our... featured pod friend of the week this week, which right. is the Gravity Beard podcast.
What? Wait, what is this? That sounds cool.
The Gravity Beard, but he doesn't have a beard.
Oh, that's interesting.
But
did gravity take it away? Pull it all the way down?
But he does every week he'll do where they look back on that week in history.
Okay.
And, you know, what was popular.
That is cool.
Things that were going on in the news.
That is cool.
And then he does some other fun stuff too, but it's called the Gravity Beard. He did some, Chris from over there did some rapid fire questions with us. So let's listen to that on our pee break, and then we'll spin his promo a little bit later, too. Our featured pod friend of the week for our pee break is the Gravity Beer Podcast.
Wonderful.
Andy, we'll be right back, and we'll talk Donald J.
Sounds
Trump, brother.
Good.
Stand by. Brother.
It's time for this week's pee break, featuring our pod friend of the week.
All right, guys, welcome into another pee break. We've got Chris from the Gravity Beard Podcast. Chris, who does not have a beard. We'll get into that later, I suppose. I've got 10 quick fire questions. Chris, are you ready for your rapid fire questions? I want the people to get to know you a little bit better.
I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
All right, here we go, man. If a movie was made about your life, what genre would it fall into?
It'd have to be a comedy.
What is your dream car?
It's got to be a red Ferrari.
Okay. Ryan Gosling or Ryan Reynolds?
Ryan Reynolds. Wait a second. Am I making out with him, or is it just do I like them better?
Yeah, it's just what catalog of work you like the best, I guess. Although, yeah. if you want to give me who you'd rather make out with, that's fine too.
The answer is the same as Ryan Reynolds.
Okay, fair enough. Where is your favorite place to hide out?
You know, I've got four children, so there's no place for me to hide out. So I guess I'll say work. I have to go to work to hide from my family.
If there were 25 hours in a day, what would you do with that extra hour?
Podcast.
Guns N' Roses or Metallica?
Guns N' Roses.
What is the first thing you would change about yourself?
I'd like to be taller.
What is the last thing you do before going to bed?
Get naked. No, that's not the answer. That's not true.
Only if you're watching Ryan Reynolds.
Right, only if Ryan's there. No, I probably brush my teeth.
Spring or autumn?
Spring.
Probably.
Although, okay, let me qualify that answer.
Yeah.
Spring because I prefer summer over winter, but maybe the answer is autumn because I'm a big hockey fan and that's the start of the hockey season. Painted into a corner like a wild animal, I would say spring.
And the last one, which you probably know, describe your podcast, Gravity Beard, in three words only. Chris.
Audio grab bag.
There it is. All right, guys, you can find him on Gravity Beard. Chris, I appreciate you being the featured pod friend of the week, brother. I'll be talking to you soon.
Absolutely. Glad to be here. Thanks.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear.
There's a welcome back to Peas on a Podcast.
Hey, we're back.
Episode 48.
We're back.
The number 4 and the number 8. That's what we're looking at this week. We're 2 episodes away from 1 year, brother.
Gerald felt bad that he was wearing his Halloween costume when he came over, so he took his clothes off. I think that's
yes.
Very, I respect him for that.
Now I'm,
he made the decision.
Now I'm dressed as a nightmare. It's a fucking flesh nightmare.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's an easy costume, brother.
Oh my God, what are you?
So listen, our one deep topic aside from my nudity is the controversy surrounding Trump's comments in regards to the fallen soldier and, well, really just the whole kind of scandal surrounding that. So however, I'll end up summing that up into one deep topic. That's what we're going to talk about. But for those folks that may not know, basically... a soldier, I think it was 4 soldiers in Niger, died in combat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a covert thing that a lot of details haven't come out about it yet.
Well, I mean, once information, and this is something you all have to realize, once information hits the internet, it's available to everyone in the world,
right,
no matter what their intentions are. So sometimes it's good to be covert. And sometimes,
that's true.
I mean, we can't just release everything. So I understand that.
That's true. Absolutely. Yeah. But basically, you know, the 4 gentlemen died and Trump made a decision that he wanted to send a condolence phone call to the widow and or surviving
honor
family members
yeah, I mean, that's,
of these guys.
And I think that's traditional for presidents to do.
It's
semi-traditional.
I mean, it's not like required. Okay. I've heard tell that certain presidents did it some of the time. Certain presidents did it never.
Okay.
Certain presidents did it every single time.
Okay, I didn't know, so I didn't it's know how like, common it was.
I don't know.
You
got to
honor
like,
that. I mean, I respect that.
I mean, I guess it depends. Like if you have 500 people die, it's not like you can sit down and call. I mean, I don't know.
That's
it just kind of depends logistically, I guess.
That's a good point.
But this is the first kind of like tragedy for American soldiers on Trump's watch.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's so, you know, he decided I'm going to call these guys.
Good.
Well, here's what happened. So he calls, let's see, it was Sergeant La David Johnson was a gentleman that passed away. His widow was Maisha Johnson in Miami, Florida. So he decided to call Maisha, the widow, and basically just offer his condolences and thank her husband for his service. So anyway, he made that phone call from, I assume, the Oval Office with General John Kelly in the room there with him. And Representative Frederica Wilson, which is a Democrat from Florida, said she overheard the conversation and reported later that Trump said on the phone call, quote, he knew what he signed up for, but I guess it still hurts, unquote. And this was him talking to the widow. So Frederica Wilson, the congresswoman from Florida, leaked what she heard, basically, what she overheard. The widow said that that Trump could not remember her husband's name when he called.
Okay.
She went on interview on Good Morning America and reiterated that. Trump tells a different story, and his Twitter feed has been fucking prime real estate the last week or so, buddy.
Yeah.
But he's been attacking everyone. But he said that... the Democrat congresswoman totally fabricated what I said to the wife of a soldier who died in action, and I have the proof. Sad. Unquote. That's what he tweeted in response to what Frederica Wilson was saying there. So, I mean, we can kind of pick this apart a little bit however you want to. I have a little bit of issue. I don't know. Do you want to go first? Or do you want to go first?
Let me go broad.
I'll let you go first because I have a fear.
You can bring us back in.
Let me tell you why I want you to go first, though.
Okay.
I want you to go first because I have a fear that I'm going to end up defending Trump here.
Yes.
And I might need you to kick me out of your house.
No, honestly, I think I might feel the same way as
you. Go ahead, though. Go ahead.
Let's start broad first. Let's start with the broad picture. The saddest thing about this story is that somehow now we are focusing on Donald Trump and his Twitter feed and the news stations picking up on what he does wrong and how, you know, arrogant and egotistical he is and how bad he is at his job, which is all true most of the time. But we've forgotten that first and foremost, a young man has died. And four young men have died. And I have to echo the chief of staff is the one who spoke at the press conference.
No. It was General John. Yeah, it was chief of staff. General John Kelly.
General John Kelly. I have to echo his sentiments that this should be sacred and we shouldn't be using this. This should never be used for, by, even if Donald Trump did something. We're going to talk about the context of what he did. Even, you know, we have to get into it because it's out there now and we need to put it, we need to put our spin on it. But the troubling part is that it's not sacred and that it's immediately used as fodder and as ammunition to attack the president where, I mean, he attacks himself. You don't need to some things you can leave alone. So first and foremost, no matter whether I agree with what he said in the context of what he said and how he said it, which is most important, I want to get into that. But I didn't particularly agree with the senator's choice to use that to kind of, and of course, someone who really is against Trump and really wants to continue to paint that evil picture of him and try to move him out of office is going to use whatever they can. But even if you've overheard a conversation, you're overhearing a conversation between a gentleman and the wife of a dead man who just died. Sometimes you just want to leave that alone.
Right.
So that's the broad picture I want to start with. Why don't you take us in and then we'll talk about the context.
Well, you know, what I wanted to say, and I haven't, you know, with the new job and some other things, I haven't been able to focus as deeply on this particular topic in the last week. And I kind of got caught up and I kind of binged on it a little bit and kind of got caught up on it a little bit in the last couple of days. But I don't know. The first thing that kind of jumps out to me is, I mean, very similar to what you just said, but like, why are we listening in to condolence calls to widows?
Period. Like, yeah, why? I mean,
whether Trump makes it or Obama makes it or whoever makes it, why are we, you know, I mean, if you're a friend of mine, if you called to offer condolences to somebody, why am I going to eavesdrop on you to listen to what you said? I mean, that's just a weird kind of intimate moment that shouldn't be.
And like I don't know, the general said, that should be sacred.
But yeah, you know, I got on here that Kelly kind of reiterated what it is believed that Trump said on the call because he said that soldiers, including his own son, knew what they were in for when they enlisted and they knew the risks. He also pointed out that he was stunned by Congresswoman Wilson's eavesdropping and leaking of the details. You know, I put on here to ask you your opinion because we're here talking to each other, unless your cat has not an opinion. But
you only want my opinion because I'm the only guy in the room.
Yeah, you're the only one here. I'll be options. But I put on here, you know, is it possible that the public is letting their hatred for Trump cloud their vision?
Well, absolutely.
Because, now, I mean, right? Yeah. I mean, let me just tell you. Trump's not an articulate guy.
No, he's not.
He's a fucking mess, dude. I mean, well, you can look at his Twitter feed and just know he's kind of off the rails.
The best way to describe him is he's an egotistical child.
But here's the thing,
though. In his emotional development.
But here's the thing, though. Yeah, and that's a good, that's a much deeper, but that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So he's not Obama. He's not articulate. He's not, like you've said before, he doesn't make you feel good when he gives speeches.
No.
It's kind of like he has to do it or he's scripted or whatever.
And that's
let me just say. So we know that. Who the fuck is shocked by that, right? So this is his first time ever doing something like this. Of course, it's Trump, but I can imagine it was not an easy call for him to make.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter what you think of him, that's not an easy call to make.
No.
But he wanted to make it. You don't have to. He didn't have to call her and offer condolences.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you that had he not, that would have been the story that people would have been running. Trump doesn't call widows. You know, that would have been the story.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Now, of course, I don't know. I'm speculating.
I do.
But it's like he called him and they still had to find something to get to get on him about. So he probably said it or some version of it that he knew what he signed up for.
Yeah.
Now, I've never been in the military. You know, my wife's father was, but I never had the opportunity to meet him. Aside from that, I don't really have any close connection to anyone in the military.
Okay.
But I would venture to say that they do know what they're getting in for. That you don't sign up through the military to play Pictionary with a bunch of guys sitting around a campfire.
Yeah.
Like, you know the risks involved. You go through training. You know what's possible when you get deployed and stuff like that. Again, I knew it was going to sound like I'm defending Trump, and in a way I am, because I feel like in this case, he's an idiot. He doesn't always say the right thing. Yeah. He's not a very comforting leader. And I'm sure the widow felt that on the phone call. He wasn't really comforting to her. But my point is, that's just who he is. And what's more disturbing to me is not that he can't really articulate his words,
yeah,
but that we would take that. And then, it's, like you said, we're not even remembering this guy that got killed.
Yeah.
Now it's just like we're talking about Trump's conversation pieces.
Yeah.
You know, that's what and again, I know that I'm kind of defending Trump, but that's kind of what I want to say.
And we have to remember this, honestly, it's interesting how this feeds into our previous conversations. It's not exactly what you say. It's always how you say it. I would suggest anyone who would listen to the senator's words saying, well, I can't believe these specific words came out of his mouth. He knew what he signed up for. Because it's not just about the words. It's about how the words are presented. And I think what makes Donald Trump hard to listen to mainly is how he speaks. And who knows, maybe the wife did not feel comforted by him. But listen to John Kelly's his name. Listen to John Kelly put a spin on that and talk about how he was approached about his son, saying that your son, when he died, was doing exactly what he wanted to be doing, mm-hmm, surrounded by the best men, the 1%. He knew, they knew what they signed up
for. And he mentioned too.
So the way he puts the spin on it, you sound like, you know what? If you called me John Kelly and you said those same words to me, I can feel that you mean it.
Mm-hmm.
And on your context, of course, it's all about context. Mm-hmm. The reason we don't like Trump is not because of what he said yesterday, it's because of what he's been saying for the last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about context. But the way John Kelly puts it, like, oh, I believe that. I believe you mean it. You're right.
He has a connection to it.
This gives my son honor.
Right.
Meaning that you're right. He went there. He's a brave fallen soldier. He went there knowing he could die.
Right. He has a connection to it. Whereas Trump,
there's a bravery to that. Yeah.
Right. No, I agree. And what do you think of in the aftermath, what do you think of Trump's kind of approach to Congresswoman Wilson, particularly on Twitter?
Oh, he just makes it worse.
He keeps calling her the wacky Congresswoman.
Yeah.
And he's saying that she's killing the Democratic Party.
See, that's the problem. The problem is, of course,
and I got
it's weird. It's almost like the North Korea Donald Trump conversation. It's like the problem is neither side in this ongoing argument between Trump and the world is going to give in. People are going to keep picking apart everything he does and lashing out at him, which is, he does all this stuff to deserve it. But he is also not going to let anybody say anything about him without lashing back out. You know, so when the senator mentioned this, all he had to say, tweet at, you know, I had a conversation with the young man's wife. I know I can't console her. I know she's hurting. My heart goes out to her. Period. And walk away.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what.
But he can't walk away.
I'll tell you what. Let's resurrect something real quick, Andy.
Okay.
This week in Trump Tweets.
This week in Trump Tweets.
All right. Nice. Logan finally gets his blow pop.
We had a, back by popular demand, we had a couple. There it goes. Sorry. I used a little too much toilet paper that time. I apologize. So Donald Trump from 3 days ago. I hope the fake news media keeps talking about wacky Congresswoman Wilson in that she, as a representative, is killing her own party.
Oh, my goodness.
We're going to talk about this later, but he says, subject to the receipt of further information, I will be allowing as president the long blocked and classified JFK files. We're going to talk about that hopefully in our pop culture.
A kid who hears what his dad's getting his mom for Christmas. He's got to talk about it. I know what you're going to get. I'm going to explode inside.
I was going to try to find some more of the, oh, here we go. Wacky Congresswoman Wilson is the gift that keeps on giving for the Republican Party. She is a disaster for Democrats. You watch her in action and then you vote Republican. I mean, I think he actually.
DJ.
Okay. So this is a tweet that he put out after the widow
went on
Good Morning America with George Stephanopoulos and had an interview.
Yeah.
And on the interview, she said that she did not feel like Trump knew her husband's name during the phone call, and she didn't feel comforted by him. I don't know if that's his exact words, but to that effect. Trump tweets like literally an hour after the interview, so he's watching it. I had a very respectful conversation with the widow of Sergeant Johnson and spoke his name from the beginning without hesitation.
Can't you hear the childlike rhetoric? I did know his name. I did know his name. I did.
Right.
Can't you hear that?
So now he's basically calling her a liar. I mean, the widow.
But like you said, on the same side, I don't really agree with Good Morning America. And like, it happens on both sides. The news gets a hold of these things. And of course, I'm not saying that he deserves anything less.
Yeah.
Or that I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. I don't think he's a great president. I think he's way too egotistical.
No, I mean, here's my thing.
But I mean, we on a sense, you can learn from what he's saying, because the senator and the media, they're not doing democracy a favor by latching on to these stories instead of getting into policy.
Right.
Let go of this and talk about what's really going on in the world. I mean,
right.
By pursuing this story, what have you given our country?
Right.
Our people. What have you done for us?
Well, you know, what I want to say is...
Like, I want to know that.
What I want to say is that, you know, again, and I've it'll be echoing a little bit what I said already, but Trump's personality, we should not be surprised by that.
Of course.
So we, in my opinion... And I'm not calling it fake news because they are reporting the truth.
Yeah, exactly. It's biased news. It's not fake news.
Right.
It's different. We've talked about that before.
That's a good angle to put on it. But let's report on policy. When's the last time you heard anyone on popular network news mention healthcare or gay rights?
Yeah.
Or even what happened in Niger with these soldiers. They're talking more about the apology or the condolence phone call than the actual mission.
Well, they're talking about the topics that drive ratings.
Right.
They're talking about what's going to get you in there. They're talking about Facebook likes.
You know, it's like sometimes
Twitter.
It's like
retweets.
Sometimes when
that's what they're talking about. They want the stuff that's going to get people in there. But,
it's almost like help me out here, but it's almost like when you follow a TV show for multiple seasons and it loses its luster. And, you know, it starts to kind of die off in the last couple seasons. And you kind of get tired of it.
That's a very powerful analogy.
And you kind of stop watching it because you're kind of like, oh, this is fucking redundant. Yeah. And it's, I don't like these characters anymore. They're not really growing, you know.
Trump is a Twitter happy egomaniac. Got it.
Yeah. And you don't have to report that, you know, fucking 25 times a day. Yeah. Like, I know he's an idiot. I know he tweets like an idiot. Yeah. I follow him on Twitter. So I'm seeing exactly. it when I log in. So, I mean, you know what I mean? It's like... But I understand at the same time he's the president. It's almost like they have an obligation
That's a good point as well.
To do that, but I don't know. I guess I would rather see... I guess, and this, I don't know if this is so much Trump's fault. I just don't remember prior to the election there being so much focus on a president in the world of social media.
Oh, my goodness.
And personality traits.
And of course, a lot of this is just... And I don't want to blame anybody personally for this. I don't think the media is evil. I don't think it's fake news. I mean, there is fake news out there, but I don't think this is that. We are growing, and we do have to remember that this is the first president who has used social media like this.
Yeah.
So, and of course, the questions come up even in the press room, like, is his Twitter feed policy? Because the president of the United States, is it policy when he says something? Should we take him seriously or should we ignore him? So I think the news media is trying to understand if just because it's a popular story, do we need to run it? Or just because Trump says this again or tweets this again, do we need to keep talking about it? So
and
I think they're
thing,
also kind of learning.
And
as
another
go
thing
too.
Is a vicious cycle, too,
yeah,
because
it is.
What
it
happens
is.
Now in today's day and age is you can't be the one to not report it.
Yeah.
So what happens now
then
is
you're biased.
So what happens
then
now?
You're a Trump. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Right. So what happens now is CNN puts up a tweet that's something crazy that he said, and it's like if CNN said it, we have to say it.
Yeah.
You know, and then NBC puts it up.
Yeah.
And then NBC says it, so Fox News has got to say it. Oh, we got to say it.
Or
too.
If NBC and CNN both say it, then Fox News can say CNN, CNN, and NBC are both liberal news. And you know. So
yeah. So what somebody really needs to do, or organization really needs to do, is kind of take a stand and say. You know, unless it's like a policy that he's tweeting about a specific policy and not just, in other words, not when he just tweets like thoughts that pop in his head. I mean, right? Because they're just crazy shit. I mean, like, in other words, that was an insult to Congresswoman Wilson. He was basically insulting her.
Yes.
He was saying that she's ruining the party. I mean, there was no constructive.
Yeah.
Policy or anything presidential that was in that tweet.
And I want to say, for the senator, I understand where she's coming from. And I understand how angry she might be at having to deal, at being a senator and having to deal with this president as the leader of her, you know, organization or whatever, of the leader of the free world or whatever you want to say. But we have to, if you want to have a good fight, you need to fight on the highest ground. That's art of war type stuff right there, brother.
Yeah.
But you need to take the higher ground. Don't get in the trenches with Donald Trump and argue with him about things like this. Take the high road.
Right.
And sometimes a conversation between a person and a widow just needs to be left alone.
Right. I mean, that's my thing. I mean, Trump is a piece of shit. He's not he's not articulate.
Tell us how you feel, Gerald.
He's not articulate, but we know that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, if I was in the military and I lost a spouse and my spouse is in the military, and I wouldn't want Trump to call me. But if he did, I mean, I wouldn't expect him to comfort me, because I've seen what he is.
It's
an open book, brother.
Thanks for, you know.
It's an open book. So, that, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, like, when Congresswoman Wilson heard that and she was eavesdropping and she heard that, was she really surprised? Was she, like, in her mind going, holy shit, I can't believe you said that? No, she's probably like, oh, okay, well, that's Trump in there on the telephone again.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. That's what he fucking sounds like. I mean, I heard he hung up on the Australian prime minister the first week he was in office. And, I mean, it's not like he has great phone etiquette and he's just not a comforting figure. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
From the news, just to wrap up, from the news standpoint, the news stations, especially nowadays, that it's not just facts and figures anymore. All news comes from a perspective. It always has, but now each news station is fueled by a certain bias and drive to contribute to society in a certain way, which is fine. It's never just facts. You have a choice on how you present the data you present. So to all the news stations out there, and I'm sure you're listening, because you all are.
I'm sure you're. Dan Rather, take notes. Listen up.
You know, you have a choice on how you present this data. You know, take the high road. You don't always have to drop down. I mean, you can report on Trump tweeting without dropping down to his level.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You
don't have to take every opportunity.
I wish your opinion, brother, but I think in terms of the media, I think we've gone past the point of no return, though. I don't see it getting any less biased.
It's going to have to evolve into something else. The media as we know it, and not just the media, the mainstream media, but social media, which is a form of media and opinions. And you know, one of the reasons there is a Janet Jackson protest is because we have a place now on the internet where people can gather from all over the world and complain about things.
Sure.
And the same reason that we have articles about why you shouldn't wear a Moana costume is because opinions now have become ingrained into media.
I just don't think...
So we need to understand, we'll grow beyond this, but you're right.
We will. No, I just don't... No, I'm serious. I just don't see popular media in the Trump era being able to come back from it. Because, he's a reality star, bro.
Yeah.
And now he's just a reality star that's the president. I mean, he's turned the White House into a reality program.
This is fascinating. I've never heard anybody put it like that. But you're absolutely right.
I mean,
that's the best way to put this.
He is literally...
He's a reality star who's the president now.
It's almost like if... It's almost like...
And that's how he sees it.
That's how he sees it. You know what it is? I did a TV reference earlier. You know what it's like?
What?
It's like NBC just created a new show, The President. Like they had The Apprentice.
Yeah.
Now they have The President. It's Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And he gets to pick who he wants to be in his cabinet. And if you're not in there, you're fired. Get the fuck out. Which he's actually been doing. And he's fucking sending people packing.
This is amazing.
By the way, Big Ear still in there? Jeff Sessions? He's not still there. He's still there?
Jeff, no.
That little racist fucker? No, he's still there. I can't believe he ain't got fired yet, but he's still there. All right, Jeff Sessions. All right, you want to get into our pop culture stuff?
Yeah, let's do it. But honestly,
you want to wrap up? Go ahead.
I think you're absolutely right. And the thing we have to remember is that perspective-wise, Trump doesn't see it any differently. He doesn't understand why he can't just pick and choose and fire.
Right.
Like, he probably doesn't see the presidency much differently than he saw The Apprentice.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Because that's his life.
Or a business, right?
That's his reality. That's what he lives in.
He's trying to run it like a business,
you know, exactly.
Brother.
And,
yeah, I agree. Not a fan of Trump. Did I tell people that?
Yeah.
But in this case,
I
feel like he was making a, just to wrap up, I feel like he was making a condolence phone call. He was trying to reach out.
Yes.
I'm not shocked that it wasn't the most articulate condolence call.
I'm sure he didn't do a good job.
Right. But what I'm more kind of frustrated about is how the media just ran with this Wilson's eavesdropping and how he wasn't articulate. When, first of all, they shouldn't have been surprised by that. And second of all,
a man has died.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's calling a widow
died.
Of a died. A that's fallen what he's supposed
to like.
All right, brother. Let's take a quick break to run the promo for Gravity Beard, which is our featured pod friend of the week this week. Love Chris Green over there. I was able to be on a podcast with him this week. We guest starred on a podcast called Playlist, which is a lot of fun. It was a music podcast, but you guys should check out Gravity Beard. It's a cool kind of like 30 to 40 minute kind of like I said, they wrap up the week in history. You know,
Google does that. When you log into Google, they always have something there. Like, okay, this year, this day,
right.
10 years ago or 100 years ago. I love that.
He's funny, man. And he's a great guy. He's been doing it for a while. So check out the Gravity Beer. We'll run his promo here, Andy, and then we'll come back and wrap up.
Let's do it.
Hey, this is the Toph, host of the Gravity Beard Podcast, a variety show with interviews and discussions on a wide range of topics. Our guests have included a viral YouTube star, a former child actor. We've even had a guy on who may have solved the D.B. Cooper case. It's a delicious box of audio chocolate. You never know what you'll get. Find it on Podbean, iTunes, and other places you listen to podcasts. It's the Gravity Beard Podcast. It's what your ears will want to be listening to.
Welcome back in.
We're back.
Episode 40. What?
48.
Refer to my notes.
48.
Can I edit that out? Episode 48. Two peas on a podcast.
Yeah, man.
Gerald Andy. So listen, we're talking about Trump, so yes. I'll just mention this real quick.
Real quick.
It's a little bit lighter, real so I quick. Put it in the pop culture segment, and we touched on it briefly earlier in his Twitter feed, but Trump has vowed to release the JFK files.
Fascinating.
Secret files have been locked up. They were locked up until October 26, 2017, which is...
In this episode of this the president, the president, Donald Trump, threatens to release secret CIA files. He's holding them out the window. I'm going to do it.
Previously on the president.
Exactly.
Oh, God. We could do a whole thing there. But anyway, we can move on. But are you excited about this? Do you care about this? You're not a U.S. history person? Or
Most conspiracy theories I find are weightless conspiracy theories.
Do you think Lee Harvey Oswald act alone on this shit? Seriously? There's a second gumming on that grassy knoll, brother.
It's hard to say.
I don't believe conspiracy theories, but I mean, come on, dude.
I mean, you're right. There could be a lot more involved.
The Triangle Crossfire?
I don't believe.
Did you never see that Seinfeld episode with Newman? the magic, what was it? It wasn't a bullet, but it was like a fucking Cheeto or whatever. The magic Cheeto.
The thing is.
I need Ashley from Rabbit Ears to correct me on that one.
When Trump tweets something that's supposedly important, I don't take it seriously.
No, of course not.
Like, I got these CIA files. I mean.
Well, it is, but it is. But it's true, though. The thing is it was like 20 years and it was 20 more years and now it's coming up in 2017.
That has to be released.
And the president can sign off that it's no longer national security. They can be public record.
Trump just wants more attention.
And he's saying he's going to do it.
I'm going to be the president who released the JFK file.
I'm just telling you, brother. I mean, I don't know.
I mean,
I don't think anything big's going to come out of it.
No, nothing.
I don't believe a lot of conspiracies, but for some reason, JFK, when I studied it in high school and college.
Well, of course there's more going on.
It's a little fucking fishy, brother.
It's not just one person.
There's some shit going on.
President. Yeah.
Did you ever see Oliver Stone film JFK?
No, I didn't.
That was a really good movie too. One of my
Kevin
favorite films.
Costner,
brother.
Costner.
Jim Garrison and Tommy Lee Jones was in that.
Really?
Sissy Spacek, directed by Oliver Stone. It's a good film. Okay. All right, so let's see. Ooh, here we go. We talked about Playboy magazine a few weeks ago,
and we're looking at them right now.
I have one on me right now. Yes, absolutely. French model Inez Rio.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know how to say her name. I apologize, but Inez Rao, I believe. Okay. Is going to be the first transgender Playboy playmate in the November issue.
Now, call me ignorant.
Now, is that history or what?
Now, call me ignorant here. I apologize.
Do I have to? Because I'm not a mean person.
Because I usually have to ask my good friend Michael this. Transgender, does that mean she was born a biological man and that now she is identified as a woman?
I believe so, yes.
So she's a biological man,
or
identifies
she
as
trans-
a woman.
She transcends gender. That was a mouthful.
She transitioned.
Yeah, I think so.
And now she's
that's
on the cover
the way
of
I understand
Playboy.
It.
Okay,
yes,
I just want to make. I'm so sorry. I know it's. Ignorant.
I mean,
it's
I could be wrong me, too. I could be ignorant too. But
okay.
I think so.
Well, wonderful. Okay, so she's going to be on the. She's going to be in the Playboy.
She's going to be in it. She's actually not on the cover though, because for the first another thing about Playboy that I was going to mention for the first time ever.
You're not accepted in our society till we can look at you naked.
Which I can't believe. Right. Which I can't believe so this. Sad. I can't believe this. Yeah. I guess I can believe it. But for the first time ever.
Yep. Milestone.
There's a male on the cover.
Hugh Hefner.
The
That's
founder.
Wonderful.
And he just passed away. That makes sense.
I mean, it makes you kind of nostalgic, doesn't it? Like
64-year history, brother.
Yeah, bro. I mean,
hey.
Wonderful.
I mean, I guess that's the way they had to go, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really got to pay homage to him.
Oh, it is?
I mean, you have to.
I mean, it's his life.
I hope
it's
he's not in the fold out in the middle. Unless he's in the robe.
Yeah,
that'd be kind of cool.
What if he was the centerfold? What a great homage. Like, he's the centerfold.
In the smoking.
He likes long walks on the beach. And photographing.
So what do you think about the French model, the first transgender playmate? That's a good, I mean, that's progression, right? That's good.
Well, I'd like
Let's
to
do
think,
it, man. Let's move forward.
I'd like to think that Playboy has always been a bit of a progressive magazine.
Do you remember?
They've never been smutty. They've always been like a gentleman's kind of thing.
And they're
like,
classy.
Classy. That's a good word for it. But I mean, I think you have to hand it to them for accepting this and reaching out. I think it's good. I think it's a good thing.
So she's going
to
appear on the, she'll be in the November, well, it's actually the November-December issue. It's like one issue for 2 months. And then, like I said, Hugh Hefner is gracing the cover there, the first man to ever be on the cover of Playboy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's see. Oh,
good for Playboy.
Yeah, I think it's good. Okay, so you and I You and I, you'll have to remind me. I think it was in the spring when Starbucks ran their unicorn frappuccino.
Ah, we got one. We got a picture of us.
Was that in the spring?
Yes.
That was like March or April or something.
Well, it had to be around Easter or around like the spring. Yes, it's a spring thing. Unicorns come out in spring.
Do they? unicorns flourish in the spring. Yes. I'll ask my son. He's a brony. He probably knows.
Yes.
I'll get him to get back to me. Okay. But anyway, for Halloween, for 1 week only.
Tell me.
And it's super secret, brother.
Tell me, Daddy.
Starbucks is not promoting it.
How is it secret if we all know about it?
Well, they're fucking... baristas are leaking it.
Oh.
So, like, people are reporting
it. It's nothing sacred.
But the company's not promoting it.
Right. Okay.
But it's called the Zombie Frappuccino.
The Zombie Frappuccino. That is awesome.
It is green and pink in color. It's made to kind of look like Frankenstein. So, it's like predominantly green with the pink coming down
like
the sides.
Like brains and stuff.
So, it's going to be limited for 1 week, actually starting tomorrow, running through Halloween, October 31st. It will be a secret menu. You will have to ask for it by name. The drink, which follows on the tails of the unicorn frapp, like we mentioned, and also the mermaid frapp, which came before that.
And we also remember that the baristas hated the unicorn frapp.
It turned their fingers pink and shit.
Yeah, they hated that.
But the zombie frapp is going to consist of green caramel apple powder, pink powder, pink, quote, brains whipped cream, and a pink mocha drizzle.
So caramel macchiato type thing?
Yeah, I guess caramel apple, I guess.
Interesting. Are you gonna get one?
Fucking yes, I'm gonna get one. What, are you kidding me? I might get one tomorrow, actually. I didn't realize it came out tomorrow. So what are you gonna do? You gonna do it? We can't do it together now, though. Well, I guess
I love Halloween, but I don't like sweet caramel.
You did the unicorn with me, though. You said it was pretty good, though.
You brought it for me.
You said it was pretty
it
good,
was
though.
All right.
You were into it. Yeah. You were kind of like, this is fucking good.
Yeah.
And I went back, came back, it was gone. I'm like, what the fuck did you do? Suck that down your face, sir? All right, listen. So this one, I got to try to keep a straight face while I read the, you know, we get kind of stupid here.
Do we?
Because I try to report stuff and then I turn it creepy.
Do you really want to
I get stupid.
You want to use we?
Yeah, I was going to say, hey, that's wrong.
No,
what is
honest.
That, a pronoun? That's a wrong pronoun.
That's a wrong pronoun.
Is that a pronoun?
I have no idea.
I don't either. It's definitely not a noun.
It's not an amateur noun.
It's definitely not
an adjective. Is it a noun that's gone into the pro season?
It's clearly not a verb because that's when you're in motion doing something, which I never do. So I don't use verbs. Okay. listen. This is the story, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Uranus is...
Why is it so childlike? You can't... No matter how old you get,
I didn't fucking say anything yet.
What about...
I didn't say
what about
Why
Uranus?
Are you laughing?
Well, I'm just saying. It brings me back to childhood.
I'm not done, dude. Okay. Uranus is visible to your naked eye. Hold on. Let me click myself. We have a professional show here, Andy. Uranus... NASA could be listening to this, buddy. Okay. I highly doubt it. Uranus is going to be visible to the naked eye.
For everyone to see.
Beginning on October 19th for 1 month.
For Uranus is going to be visible for a whole month?
Yes, brother. All right, so here we go. Uranus. Here it is. Uranus will be out in all its blue-green glory.
Blue and green.
The night of October 19th. It could be bright enough to see with a naked eye, NASA said.
Wonderful.
If not, binoculars should do the trick.
Yeah.
Those with a telescope could see Uranus all month. All month long.
I just feel like a child again.
So how you feel, brother? You want to see Uranus?
Well, typically...
Do you want to see your own anus?
No, typically...
No, wait a minute. I threw all in there.
Typically
that's all right.
No, typically from far away, honestly, Uranus is just a dot.
Mm.
But the closer you get to Uranus, the more you can see the splendor of the rings
and
the beauty of Uranus.
I don't know you paid that close attention when you recorded. All right.
It's just... That's just one of those things that it's just... It's hard to ignore the beauty
of that word.
It's a wonderful
So you're ready
word.
For your loop? So that's Uranus,
yes.
And I wanted to touch on Uranus before we wrap up this week. All right, you ready? I got a good loop for you. It's about Uranus. It's not. I'm just kidding. Well, it could be. Depends on what you want to answer. So if you could, this is like, you know, I was thinking about Uranus. I was thinking about, you know, planets.
Okay.
If you could make your own constellation in the sky, what would it look like? A star constellation in the shape of what?
A spiral.
Okay, I guess I'll give you mine because I got everything to say about a spiral. Why a spiral?
Because that symbol,
like a target,
symbol
like a bullseye thing.
No, a spiral, like a spiral. It spirals outward. Like
oh, just
spiral.
Like a little design or whatever.
Yeah, I just think that.
Oh, like your ministry thing.
Exactly.
Is that what you're talking about?
The spiral has.
But
been,
why?
The spiral.
You're
has
trying to promote your ministry in space.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus, brother.
The spiral has.
You trying to marry aliens?
The spiral has been following me around for a long time now, and
it has become
the symbol. So I think if I looked up and I saw it in the sky, like obviously a spiral one day,
I tell you,
with Uranus at the center,
I tell you,
I just think I'd be
if
so
I looked
inspired.
Up and saw that spiral, I'd be like, I need to go to andyrossministry.com.
Exactly. No, I just think, I just love the spiral. It's a beautiful symbol.
All right, here's what I'm going to say. And I think I'm affected. I think I'm influenced by Halloween. But I, you know, I've been doing this thing. I told you.
Got it.
The last 4 or 5 months where I just, the first answer that pops in my head, yes. I also write down.
Okay, wonderful.
And I stick with it.
Stick with it.
I haven't changed it the last few months. But the first one I thought of is a witch flying on a broom.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
In the shape of stars. You just look at it. Hey, a fucking witch going to the sky up there.
You know what would also be cool?
That'd be cool, right?
It'd be cool if one night, the entire night sky made a whole picture. Like all the stars together made one big picture.
Like the Last Supper or something
like
that? Yeah. That'd be cool.
The Last Supper.
I don't know. I got deep there. Are you ready? Yes. I'm going to bring Justin back in, brother.
Oh, there's not another one.
And I'm going to let you give us your final thought. Yeah. If you can concentrate. JT's in the background. What you got, brother?
I love it. Well, you know what? There's so many things we want to fight for, and there's so many things we want to fight against. But of course, like I said before, we always want to fight for something. But remember to take the higher ground. It's hard to do that. It's hard to step above. It's hard to move beyond yourself. It's hard to accept what somebody's giving to you that you don't agree with and move beyond that and not always fight back with anger, not always fight back with fear, but rise above. So you know what? Take a breath and rise above. Be the better person. Be the change, as Mahatma Gandhi would say.
Andy, I want to thank you. I want to thank Uranus, and I want to thank JT and TI. Also, thank you to Chris over there at Gravity Beard for being our featured pod friend of the week. You can find all of our and his information in the show notes. Andy, until next week, we do 4-9, brother, and then guess what comes after that?
Tell me.
The 1-year anniversary, brother.
That's crazy.
Be here.
I will.
Uranus and all. I'll see you next week, though, for the On Deck episode.
Sounds good.
Thank you for listening to Two Peas on a Podcast. The views and opinions expressed were solely those of the hosts and are not necessarily shared by our distributors or hosting companies. Visit twopeasonapod.com for more info.